Cameron Esposito, the host of Wham Bam Pow. This is a movie show, a podcast focused on action and sci-fi films. Today, I am joined by regular panelists, Rhea Butcher and Ricky Carmona. We're going to talk movie news, hopes and dreams. We're going to give a brief review of the 1968 film Planet of the Apes, which is available right now on Netflix Watch Instant. The review will come at the end. There might be spoilers, but we'll let you know ahead of time. Also, hello, Rhea and Ricky.
Hey, girl. Hello.
What's going on, Rhea Butcher, the Lady James Dean? How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm all coffeed up, you know, just watching a lot of Netflix.
We have been watching a lot of Netflix.
Yeah, tons of Netflix.
We've been watching Orange is the New Black.
I was going to say, tell the people what you watch.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know if we should save it for the we'll leave you with this.
No,
but
no.
You know what?
We'll start you with it.
Start you off with that.
There you go.
That show is very good.
There you go.
And if you're not watching that show, listen.
Watch that show.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That show is so good. It's one of those you just tell somebody, you know how good this show is?
That's
how
very good that show is. And we were saying before the show started, because we've been talking about Orange. Oh, by the way, hi, Ricky Carmona, the Afro spokesman.
I changed it up. I said, hey, girl, tonight.
Yeah.
I want to try and change it up from here on out.
Feels special.
Give the people something different.
But there is a gal that we used to do comedy with in Chicago. She was around the scene a lot and then moved to New York and then to L.A. Now her name is Lauren Lapkus, and she plays like the skinny
Fisher, I believe.
Yeah, that is her name.
Is that
I was going to say blonde guard. And it's just rad to see her. We also know there's
Matt
LA,
Peters is on
Matt
that.
Peters is in it as well, who's also an L.A. comic, and he plays Loose Check or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's cool and crazy to see, because that show looks so great and is so great, and there's really terrific acting.
Yeah.
And then there's also like people that have been famous for a long part of my life. Like, for instance, Laura Prepon. Like, I feel like that 70s show was like, we were the same age as her when she was making that, basically. And so now she just still seems like she's been a star for a really long time. And then there's just my friend.
Yeah, just your buddy.
Then there's my friend right next to me.
She's got great eyebrows on the show. Those eyebrows
all
are
new.
What's going on with those eyebrows?
I'm hoping they explain that in the next season.
Yeah.
I don't know what's up with these.
Do you think that's just what's happened to her personal eyebrows? God, grow your brows
not.
In, girl.
I hope not.
Grow your brows
girl, grow them
in.
Brows.
It's a little bit rough. That's my only. If I had one complaint about the show, it's the unrealistic nature of her eyebrows.
They are. They're very weird. You're right. It's true. if I have one issue with the show, Laura Prepon's eyebrows.
And hey, it is a sci-fi TV show because it stars none other than Captain Janeway. So,
how did Captain Janeway on that show? That's right.
That this was a sci-fi television show. Well, there you go.
Well, Rhea, I honestly don't even know what you're talking
about.
That's
fine.
But that's okay. We're going to start.
There are people listening that do.
We are going to start with some movie news. So cheers, first of all, cheers to our buddy Max Borenstein, who has been on this show. He wrapped shooting on Godzilla this week. He wrote the script for that. And if you go back and listen to our Godzilla episode, you'll hear Max talking about it. He's just like a really young dude, super nice, and I'm stoked for him. He wrapped shooting, and then they immediately went to Comic-Con, and like we're talking about the film and stuff. So it just seems rad. Early Comic-Con thoughts on the show, or on the movie, is that it looks good. So
yep.
And there was like a
what's up
Godzilla experience that looked pretty awesome. I've seen through via Instagram. That
yes,
looks pretty
yes,
rad.
Yes.
So I'm pretty excited about it too.
I was really surprised and then super happy for like how big a presence Godzilla had. Like I was like, well, it's gonna be a big movie, but like they went all in at this Comic Con, which is great.
They really did. And the other thing I would say is, speaking of experiences, there is a new first of all, I'll start this. Rhea Butcher and I got a backlot tour, private one, on a golf cart at Universal Studios, and we went to the Back to the Future set. I know, not the original one, Rhea, because it burnt down. They rebuilt it. She was like, this is really awesome,
isn't the original.
But it's really great.
But my knees buckled when
we
I
did get a private tour, and the clock tower now is dressed for something else that they're shooting where it just says City Hall. So you sent the picture of us.
I sent that picture of you and I to my family members that were like, you didn't tell me you were getting married.
So they thought we
were really
right
confused.
In and got married.
That's great.
So I guess the thing in that is caption your photographs from backlot tours.
I should not assume that they know that it is the clock tower.
Oh, Rhea, you caught a huge shark. And you're killing people in your hotel. That's the other things that are on the backlot tour. So that was very fun. And it reminds me of the fact that also, this is kind of interesting to me, There's a new Resident Evil attraction that's opening at, actually it already opened, at Universal Studios in Japan. And what it is a like 3D haunted house zombie killing experience where you get like a, basically a,
like a plasma rifle?
You get a plasma. No, you get like a laser tag gun that has like fake bullets in it or whatever, and then you go and there's actors and they're trying to eat your brains and stuff, and then you laser tag gun them. It looks terrific, but I'm also excited about this because they spend a lot of money when they put something like that in. And a couple years ago, I went to the Universal Studios that's in Orlando. And I'm a huge Terminator fan, so I went on their T2 experience, which is like what they put out in the early 90s to commemorate the release of T2. And what happens is that there's actors, you know, who've definitely got their BA in drama, who are like, help, there's been a robot they're just, you know, like,
a day of judgment.
Like, they are selling it. And then you have to go through and kind of sit, and then like your chairs kind of rock a little bit, and then animatronic Terminators come out from the stage, and one of them is broken. Like, just visibly broken, you know, because it's so old.
It's sad.
And then their eyes kind of light. Like, it's like basically the tip of the gun glows. You know, like, that's how you know that there's bullets coming out. So I'm interested to see, number one, seems really cool now. Resident Evil does a lot of cool promotional stuff. I don't know if you guys saw that in the last, like, game they released, I think, they turned a swimming pool in the UK into a zombie swimming pool, and they filled it with fake blood.
Oh, God.
Nice.
And you could go swim in there, and they also put, like, spongy body parts that you could find. And then they also have done a human butcher shop where they installed like a fake butcher shop where you could buy human ears and stuff. So it's disgusting, but good on them.
I'll go to that.
Also, I can't wait to go to Universal Studios Japan in like 15 years when we're looking at those laser tag guns. We're like, ha-ha, look at them with these laser tag guns. That was before we had laser tag guns implanted in our eyes. Stupids. Stupid idiots. What else is happening? This is a stretch.
Here we go.
RoboCop. Definitely already set to be one of the biggest movies of 2014. This week, Detroit declares bankruptcy. What are you guys? Since that whole movie is really about like a decrepit Detroit of the future, I just wonder, do you think they're going to have to tread softly?
They built that big RoboCop statue in Detroit. I'd like them now to figure out a way to make it come alive and unleash that on the city of Detroit and help them out. Man, it is so sad what is happening there.
It's so
sad.
They
need to get that little kid RoboCop. The little kid that dressed up as RoboCop for Halloween like 5 years ago. Just Google it, little kid RoboCop Halloween, because his mom made him a costume. He's like a little child that somehow in like 2008 found out about RoboCop, which is weird to be four and figure that out. And it's like made out of like milk jugs and stuff.
Yeah.
And it is, she like took him on a photo shoot in Detroit. And even some cops,
let
him sit in the car and like stand by the. It is adorable.
Well, no wonder they're bankrupt.
So
the rad, cops are
and I was like
kids.
Crying. So no, I mean
that is beautiful. That is a cute.
It's gonna be weird. How are you gonna watch a movie about a city being like bankrupt and then have the city actually be bankrupt?
I just think it's very intense that's happening. Separately for Detroit, I don't mean just because of the RoboCop movie.
Sure.
What I mean is something really intense is happening there, and then there's a movie coming out that reflects that intensity in a silly way. I mean, I don't know what the tone is of the new RoboCop movie. So I'm just curious about it. I'm curious if they're going to have to do some dealing with that. I mean, 2014, that's still a little bit away, but I'm curious as to whether or not they're going to have to handle their shit a little bit differently.
Michael Keaton's in that new RoboCop movie. It's the only thing I'm looking forward to in it.
I've seen the suit. It looks like crap.
Looks terrible.
It looks like shit.
Terrible.
Well, guys, then it sounds like it won't be such a... No, that's actually worse, isn't it? You should make a good suit. Like, sorry,
yeah,
Detroit.
Yeah, totally make a good
this
suit.
Is your hero.
Yeah.
You should, because I was going to say, if it's a crappy suit, then Detroit doesn't have to take it seriously. But now I realize, like, they need to be lifted up. So
if
you're
the,
right.
Yeah,
the
movie
statue
sucks now.
Has to come alive. And Ricky has said it best. He said it here first. If there are any magicians or sorcerers of any kind.
Sorcerers, definitely.
First of all, I understand why you're listening to this show. This is like a sci-fi show, so you're right at home. And then also, please get on that. We'll be back to talk to our friend and comic Ryan Buds about his recent turn in the film Sharknado.
Yeah.
Right after this. So we have a fun guest in the studio tonight. We have comedian Ryan Buds.
Hey,
comic,
what's up? How
Ryan
are you?
Ryan Buds.
Thanks and, for having me.
Yeah, and also Ria is here and Ricky is here. We're taping this before the rest of the thing. So, hi, guys. We just haven't said hi to each other yet. But
hello.
In your ears, we will have already said, so then this part
so
is
now we're,
a little
we're
bit.
But quantum
yes, I
leaping
feel,
right now.
Yeah, it is. It's
Ziggy. Right.
And you look like a baby. You know, like I can hear your voice yeah. in my head because we're yes. psychically connected, but physically the outside of your body is
we're
a baby's
baby.
Body. So, Ryan, the reason I wanted to have you on the show is because last week on the show, we were talking, you know, this is an action and sci-fi movie podcast.
That's right.
And last week, we were talking about Sharknado mm-hmm. being kind of a bomb in terms of ratings.
Right.
But anticipated very highly on the social media verse. I think that's how you say that.
That's
and
right.
you were in it.
I was. Yeah, it was crazy. I won this contest at Flappers in Burbank, California, and one of the prizes in the contest was a walk-on role in an asylum movie.
Did you know that ahead of time?
That it was Sharknado?
No, like, did you know? So when they said the contest, you knew one of the prizes was an asylum movie?
Yes. And yeah, you, but not till the night of the contest.
What were the other prizes?
$500.
Oh, my God.
A limo ride for 2 hours around Burbank.
What?
Oh, my God.
Which I have yet to cash in. So next podcast.
Wait, how did you get to set if you didn't use your limo every day? It doesn't make any sense.
I just drove my Saturn.
Oh, did you put $500 to the tape to the bottom of your feet and walk there?
That's right.
I would pay you money to go in that limo with you
yeah.
to the Burger King, where they shot the beginning sequence of Back to the Future in that limo.
Oh, wow, you can turn around, you can turn some cash on that. Yeah. That's not a thing.
It's $1,000 for that ride.
All right,
and I'm gonna need your shoes. Right?
And yeah, six whoppers.
So you won this prize,
right?
And you knew that you were gonna be in an asylum movie,
right? And I had known, you know, from the stamp of Asylum that they've done all those mockbusters and the sci-fi made for TV movies, and I didn't really think it was that coveted of a prize. And I remember the host that night, like really, like. There was a like third place got a basket of fries, and I think he joked about like, "Hey, I'd rather have the fries than the walk-on roll," because you know, like it could just be like a quick thing in some movie nobody ever sees, which 90% of the time I think it would be.
Yeah, but still, I mean, those are excellent movies.
Yeah,
Mega Shark. What a hero that shark is to us all.
That's
just
right.
So big, you know.
Three times
yeah,
over.
Just a bunch of just
saving
a big shark, you know.
So, a mega shark.
Yeah,
it
just
say.
Would be really nice to be near that.
Yeah.
So you did actually get the walk-on role.
I walked across the street actually to the asylum, which is right across the street from the Flappers.
Oh my God! Well, so, now I know where I'm going to go every
right.
day.
Asylum is the name of the production company we're talking
yes,
about here.
Yes, okay. Yes. So they would make a movie. They make like. They've made, I think, 120 movies in the last 15 years, and they make about 2 a month at this point.
Wow.
Really pumping them out.
Okay, wow. So you, when did they tape Sharknado? When did
they film Sharknado in January. So I won this contest when I first moved out here in November, and I walked across the street, and I said, hey, I won this contest at Flappers, and they go, we don't know anything about some contest. And I'm like, they told me to just come over. They're like, we have no idea what you're talking about. And one of the heads, there's three dudes that run the asylum. This guy, David Latt, came out on roller blades and into
yeah,
the lobby.
Yeah, because they were filming Sharkblado.
Sharkblado is on it.
You guys! Pow!
Devil's backbone.
All right,
backbone.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I think that's all we need to do. So he goes, I said, I won this contest. He goes, well, we don't know about the contest, but we'll definitely kill you off in the next movie we make if you want. I said, that'd be great. I go, that'll be really fun. And he goes, he didn't tell me the title. He just said, come back in January, call us after the holidays, that kind of thing. And I did, and I came in, and they said, the movie you're working on is called Dark Skies. And they're like, but it's really called Sharknado. They have like code names for all the stuff.
So if
you just put like Lucasfilm, they're
just
professional.
Yeah,
professional.
You keep
I like
it,
that.
Under wraps.
Right.
And there was also a movie called Dark Skies that that came out in the month of January with Kerry Russell. It was an alien movie, another sci-fi
movie. Oh, yeah.
So people were really confused. They're like, wait, is this that movie? And, you know, but
you're like, I'm Kerry Russell.
Yeah. So they eventually changed it over to Sharknado, and I guess that was the idea all along.
So what was your part in the film?
I was beach victim number one.
Oh, my God. Number one.
Number one. Got the big IMDb credit from it.
Nice.
And I got to be a PA on the movie, too. So when I walked out of that office, I turned around and I said, hey, this walk-on role is going to be great, but can I maybe be a production assistant? I'm looking for some experience. And they said, yeah, you're hired. I was like, oh, great. So I got to work the 18-day shoot on the movie 18 Days. And one of the days I didn't get to do the PA work because I got to do the walk-on role. And it was on a beach in Malibu called El Matador. And they made it look like a shark bit my leg off up to the knee. And they put a bunch of makeup and prosthetics over 3 hours on my leg, and it kind of looked like a chomp mark.
And then what did they do, green screen out your shin?
Oh, no, they don't have that much time. They just put it in the sand.
You're the
sand. My leg is just in the sand, and then they kind of pooled blood around the stump, and I wiggled my thigh to make it look like I was missing a leg. And we did that for probably 20 minutes, me wiggling and screaming at the top of my lungs while beachgoers ran around me.
Do you say anything?
No, I just scream.
Yeah.
And in the shot, in the actual movie, it's minute 14. It's about 3 seconds long.
Oh, my God.
And,
it's great. It's one of the three greatest seconds in that movie. I saw Sharknado, and so, I loved you in it.
Thank
loved
you.
Thank
you.
And, your stump.
Thank you, Ricky.
Beautiful.
I didn't actually see it. And I'm sorry, you know,
no,
I'm sorry
no
because
worries.
I didn't mean to not support your career.
You don't get royalties for walk-on roles, so.
But I believe it's a tornado of sharks, right?
That's right.
I'm not spoiling anything if I say that.
No. Nope.
They come up. Is it sudden? Like, how much time did you have as a beachgoer to react?
It's the very beginning of the movie, and this storm sweeps into Los Angeles and picks up all the sharks from the ocean,
uh-huh.
and then just kind of cyclones them around and then throws them onto land. And then these sharks, for whatever reason, are still blood hungry and ready to kill, even though they have no water, no way to breathe. There's a scene where Ian Ziering from 90210, Steve Sanders, is climbing up a bridge on a rope, and a shark jumps up into the rope and bites up after him.
What?
No water around. I mean, it's a good three-minute scene.
And, see, I for some reason thought they were being constantly propelled by wind. And that
every new scene kind of starts with like some wind and a shark flying into the scene. You know what
so
I mean?
So it just feels like if you could dodge the shark,
you'd be all right.
You'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that
Cameron,
a lot of people are having.
When you look out your backyard window and you see a shark in your swimming pool, that's when stuff gets
you know what
real.
What do you do?
I
probably
really
just
real.
Don't go in that pool. It feels like there's a wide berth. You know what I mean? Just go out the front door and you'd be fine.
Maybe drain that pool.
So you also. I read you also wrote like a little piece about this, an article about this that was on, on Laughspin?
Yeah, it was for Laughspin. I was actually inspired by your post on Laughspin.
Oh my
and
God.
I thought, I'm like, I'm going to try and ask Dylan Gaudino if I can submit like a guest column.
Awesome.
And he was like, yeah, that's great. He goes, of course, you know, we want to hear all about it.
Right.
So that was great. And I got a lot of exposure from that. So
that's
that
very
really
cool.
Neat. Yeah.
And you're welcome. Tara Reid,
mm-hmm.
She's in this movie.
She is. She's
and
a delight.
You drove them around.
I had to drive Tara Reid around. And the first day she got in my car, she said...
Was she in your physical car?
In
like
my physical
car.
Yep. And she said, do you mind if I smoke in here? And she had like a cigarette ready to be lit. I'm like, I've never had anybody smoke in my car, but it's a celebrity. What do I do? And I was like,
hell no.
I was like, Tara, I'd really appreciate it if you didn't smoke in my car. And she's like, that's cool. I respect that. And she did 3 lines of coke off the dashboard.
Are you serious?
No.
Oh my God.
But it sounded like it, didn't it?
No,
yeah,
it did.
She did ask to smoke in my car, and I said, I did say no, and she did say, I respect that, and she didn't. So that was cool.
Cool.
But when you say that on stage, people don't laugh.
Where did you
I added the cocaine.
Where did you have to pick her up? Where were you driving her from?
I, as a PA, on the bridge rappel scene, I had to keep driving the actors from the bottom of the bridge to the top of the bridge. It was a 6th Street bridge. It's probably a couple blocks from here.
Yeah,
and it was just over and over, back and forth, probably 30 or 40 times because it was kind of cold that day on the bridge. So, and they can't be in like big parkas. So they'd be like, Ryan, go drive the actors up and so on and so forth.
You're doing circles? In downtown Los Angeles with Tara Reid in your car.
Exactly.
That is
a
you
non-smoking
made it.
Tara Reid.
Yeah, not
Hollywood
well,
dream.
She respected you.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think is next? Like if you could imagine your next film role based on the success of this film role, do you want them to fully You want to lose the other leg?
I would love to lose a limb in the next four Asylum movies until I'm just a stump.
Wouldn't it be great? Have you pitched that?
Hey, I have. I've been doing a lot of kind of like PR for the movie for myself as well, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
I called into Good Day Sacramento yesterday.
That's hilarious.
A program that I think Danny Tanner used to work for in Full House. And it was a real thing, and I called in, and they couldn't get the Skype to work, so they just had my headshot, and they used a thing called Jabberjaw or something, and they made my mouth move on a freeze frame on an iPad. It was pretty ridiculous. But I sent that video to the heads of Asylum today and said, hey, I'm doing a bunch of PR for the movie. I go, all I ask is that you take off my other leg in Sharknado 2. And they were like, hilarious, Ryan. You know, they didn't say yes or no, but who knows?
I'm pretty sure you're getting a contract.
You should
link them this. Tell them you're continuing to talk about this. We have a big listenership of cool sci-fi fan people.
Yes. Yeah, we do.
They're going to get into it.
And now they know the inside scoop about Beach Victim number one.
And I also know that you said before we started that folks can find out more information about this.
Yes.
On your YouTube page.
Yeah, I have a new web series I started called I'm a Sharknado Survivor, and I kind of took the 3-second on-screen character I had of this beachgoer and made his life continue after, like, a real Sharknado attack presumably happened. So I have, like, my leg cut off at the knee, and I do these video journals that my doctor recommended I do to help with the healing process of losing a leg. So that's the web series. You can find it on youtube.com/RyanBuds.
Wow, and thank you so much to Ryan Buds. Also, you're on Twitter at Ryan Buds. And you're doing a show this Saturday night here in Los Angeles.
This Saturday night, yeah. It's at my apartment complex, so you can come see where I live. It's called The Starlet. It's on Olive and Pass in Burbank, California, right across from Warner Brothers Studios. I got a really good lineup. Camilla Cleese is on it. She's John Cleese's daughter. Really funny comedian. Have you met her?
I haven't met her, but I will say it sounds like you are already having a lot of success with just walking across to a film studio
and then
getting a role in there. So I would like to suggest that if you're directly across from Warner Brothers, you just try that same tactic. I'm sure they're going to turn you away because it's probably like a higher security thing. But
just go in that water tower and get the Animaniacs out.
That's right.
Excuse me, I know Dot.
Totally insane-y. Thank you so much, Ryan, for
coming
by.
Thanks, Cameron. Thanks, guys. Great to see you, buddy.
Yeah. Good to see you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Dr. Sidney McElroy.
Oh, look at you, doctor.
You told me to say it that way.
We have a medical history show called Sawbones right here on Maximum Fun, where we talk about all the dumb, hurtful, damaging ways that we've tried to fix people over the years.
Have you ever tried to put mercury on a syphilis shanker? Or maybe you tried to drill a hole in your head because you heard it would reduce your blood-brain volume?
That was dumb. But if you want to know exactly why and know about all the other people that try to do the same dumb thing you did, you can listen to our show every Friday right here on MaximumFun.org.
I actually loved talking to Ryan just now.
Yeah, he's great.
That was super fun.
Ryan's awesome.
He is awesome. Yeah. And also I love, he's smart. Mm-hmm. He's a smart dude. He's going to turn his little spot in Sharknado into a moneymaker or something.
He has both of his legs.
Yeah.
But he said, I talked to my doctor who told me what the effects were of like somebody not having a leg. So he thought, I'm going to call a doctor, my doctor.
He's so method.
He is method. He's the De Niro.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I felt like Jodie Foster having breakfast with De Niro just then.
Well, you look like Jodie Foster, too, in the eyes.
Yeah. Effing do. Yeah, I've heard that every day of my life since I was aware of what Jodie Foster and looking like another person could be.
a lot of times when the sunscreen was around, though, especially,
yeah, exactly.
Right? So now is the time of the show, and we are going to give you a brief review of a dick flick. This week we chose 1968's Charlton Heston Fest. That is so fun to say.
Feston?
Heston Feston. It's a fest of Heston.
Feston.
There you
Heston.
Go.
It's a festin.
Festin.
Festooned with Heston.
For Heston.
In this vest. Of vests.
But the movie is called Planet of the Apes.
Sorry.
Yes.
And it's on Netflix Watch Instant. Also, now we're going to be spoiling. Now, I had seen 2001's Planet of the Apes, the Marky Mark vehicle. I had also seen Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Mm.
I had seen clips of this film, like on a Saturday morning when I was growing up. I had never seen the full film. Had you seen it, Ricky?
I have not. I've seen, just like bits and pieces. I saw the Marky Mark hot mess. I saw Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Love that. And yeah, this weekend was the first time I was like, I'm going to watch it from beginning to end.
What about you?
Same for me. I think like a lot of Sunday morning viewings of parts of it. And also, you know, I watched The Simpsons, so I feel like I kind of watched the movie by watching The Simpsons.
Yeah, some of those movies were like, you haven't seen it, but you kind of have seen
it. I know
it.
How it ends.
Right.
So just for those of you that haven't seen it, like us, before this last weekend, we'll do a basic synopsis. So astronauts... I held the ass really long.
I like that.
Astronauts.
And that is what she said. Thank you.
On a mission to the future, crash land on a planet ruled by apes. It's a planet where apes rule and humans drool. And one astronaut, who is called Taylor, he survives and must fight for his life with the help of some apes. How'd I do?
Good.
It's okay. Good.
Thank you.
Really summed up that... 2.5-hour movie.
Yes. So the film stars Charlton Heston, obviously super famous, even if you've never seen the movie. Good God, if you don't know he's in this movie, what are you doing listening to this show? Also, are you okay? Also, Kim Hunter is in this, Roddy McDowell is in this, and Maurice Evans. Now, it was directed by Franklin Schaffner, who also did Patton. Just take that and put that in your head
is
for
that
a
right?
second.
He did that?
He did Patton.
Wow.
It's also based on a 1963 novel by a French author who I believe is named Pierre Boulez.
I believe it's Pierre Boulez.
Oh, yeah, you know that.
Pierre Boulez.
Pierre also wrote The Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Is that right?
Yeah. Aren't those two very fascinating facts for people that I did not know either? Bridge Over the River Kwai and then Planet of the Apes. Like, wow. Anyway, so very interesting stuff to me on that. And... of course, the script on this movie, excited to learn, written by Rod Serling.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then later, a bunch of different edits happened, but he was the originator of the script, which is really, I mean, this is a Twilight Zone-y movie.
Totally.
It is a two-hour Twilight Zone.
Totally.
Final little background thing that I actually think is, I lost my mind finding it out. So I remember this now about Argo. Even though I tried to block most of that movie out of my... because I hated Argo. I hated it. I thought it was the biggest schlock, worst of our time. Like
Argo, fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Don't remind me.
And the character in that movie that John Goodman plays, he produces a... well, there's going to be... anyway, there's a character in that movie that John Goodman plays actually based on the dude who does the makeup in Planet of the Apes.
Oh, is that right?
And the makeup in Planet of the Apes is amazing.
Yeah.
So good that they gave him an Oscar. The makeup Oscar didn't even exist until 1981.
For the Elephant Man.
They just gave him an Oscar in 69 just because they were like, listen, those mouths are great. So I just want to take a minute and say what's up to John Chambers, who did the makeup on this.
Big up, big up.
Unbelievable job out of this. Also, before we start, we have a new little segment that we're going to do, which is remake the tagline. Original tagline for this film. And you guys both brought in your new taglines. So I'm going to decide which tagline is better, and then we are going to put it on a poster, which will be released on our Tumblr page. You can follow us there to find it. So the original tagline... somewhere in the universe, there must be something better than man. Nailed it.
Great job.
Rhea Butcher, alternate tagline?
Okay. Crash landed. Hunted, caged, tortured, and he still acts like an arrogant bastard.
Oh, that's good, actually. I like that.
That's my tagline.
That's good. That's good. He does act like an arrogant bastard.
He does.
What is like, up with him?
The first, like, 5 minutes of the movie, like, the first note I wrote down was, am I supposed to like Charlton Heston?
Yes, no. We actually paused it to turn to each other and said it. The other thing is, he looks insane. Like, I'm not using that word as a throwaway word. He actually looks, because when he's trying to smile, smiling is so
it's like
visibly hard for him. That, his teeth are up by his, like, nostril. I mean, his lips are up by his nostril.
Tagline.
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry.
We gotta get back to the tagline. I want to talk about it.
Okay. I'm so sorry. Okay, Rhea, give me your tagline again.
Okay, mine is crash landed. Hunted, caged, tortured, and he still acts like an arrogant bastard.
Okay, great. Ricky.
All right, I'm going to read mine in the voice of Charlton Heston. Here we go.
Oh, it's kind of a nice touch.
This summer, the ape shit hits the man.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Like, oh, what a brilliant pun.
Wow.
Ape shit. Great.
Wow. Actually, Ricky wins.
Yeah.
So you will see Ricky's tagline on a poster. Rhea Butcher, I believe,
I will
is going to
make that happen.
Boom.
Make that thing.
And if you have a tagline for any of the movies that we're watching, please tweet it at us, hashtag WhamBamPow. We would love to hear from you. We might even make it into a poster, put it up on a Tumblr.
What?
Okay, great. Now we're going to go through our best and worst. Now, Rhea.
Yes.
I'm going to start with you. What is the worst part of this movie?
So, like I said up front, like, I didn't watch this movie, not because I'm not, like, a sci-fi fan, but because it's just one of those movies that, like, if somebody doesn't sit you down and play it for you when you're, like, 5 or 6, you're just going to miss it because it's, like, in everything, and then you just don't see it. So, like, this is a movie that I feel like I was just catching up on, but knew a lot about it. Like, I had the action figures somehow, and I watched the television show. Like, I saw all those things. So it was weird to, like, go back and watch this movie. It's like watching The Godfather when you're 30.
Part of the movie
So the worst part of the movie, to me, is, like, the plotting of the movie. I love Rod Serling, and I love how talky he is, and I love, like, Twilight Zone movies. But this was so, like, you just walk somewhere, and then something happens, but then it only half happens. Then you have to talk about it. Then they go someplace else and they talk about it some more. And then we're talking about the next thing we're going to do. Then we go to that thing. Then we talk about that thing that we're doing. Then we talk about the next thing. That's what was really like. I just wanted something to happen.
Well, I think we were talking about the fact that you and I were personally talking about the fact that this movie came out in like a pre-social media universe where I think that everything that they were trying to set up was supposed to be like a huge reveal. Or not even social media. Like, I don't think they knew that every television show was going to reference it and every other movie was going to reference it. So I think it was set up so that everything was so shocking. You know, there's this, like, really building tension. But once you know all of the reveals, it just ends up feeling slow because there's nothing that you're building to.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he can talk. Oh, there's apes on the planet. Oh, right. That's New York. You know, like, it's,
right.
There's nothing that's building to anything. So I understand what you're saying there. Ricky, what about you?
Actually, it's the same issue I had with Rhea, which is the pacing of the movie, only because we watch movies differently now. I mean, if this movie was made today, it wouldn't be this extreme, but today's version of Planet of the Apes would start 10 minutes before he gets to the Statue of Liberty.
Right.
You know? Like, and then it would just build from there.
Yep.
You know, it'll feel like it would be that kind of movie. Whereas, like, you know, back then it's almost like theater. Now we're in this location and the camera's not going to move for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, it is like theater. That's a great way of saying it. It's definitely a set that's, you know, dressed in a very specific way. It's not, they're not on location. You know, there's no, oh, and then the camera tracks back and forth. It's a static camera swiveling in, there's like clearly dust on the ground.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like it's
absolutely.
They're not at the beach. So I agree with you that's definitely a huge issue in the
and
movie.
It's not a flaw against the movie. It's just definitely a movie of its time.
I agree.
And
absolutely.
That is
how
they made
the I actually
do,
I agree. I don't give it, I don't put that as a mark against the film.
Right.
I just see it as, but you know, I would actually say that for me, the part that doesn't hold up the most is actually just Charlton Heston.
Yeah.
Because not just the things that he's saying, but he's just not likable. And I don't know if we just expected different things from men then, you know, like if men. I guess what I'm saying is, like, I think he's supposed to be dashing, but that doesn't hold up. You know, like, if you see a Cary Grant movie or if you see, like, Humphrey Bogart or if you see
even Marlon Brando.
I was just
going to
say,
like,
Marlon Brando or even, you know, like, young De Niro. Like, there are dashing men that hold up.
Yeah.
This guy does not do it for me.
Yeah,
I could not get into thinking that he was charismatic at all.
It's an allegory, if I'm using that term correctly. So I thought about it maybe like because it takes place in the 60s and it's obviously making a comment on racial relations, like maybe we're not supposed to like Charlton Heston that much, you know, maybe we kind of enjoy seeing this person of power brought down, this white man brought down.
Right.
I don't know, but it just is like, I don't know, it was just interesting. Yeah, like just how quickly all three of us, it seems like, did not
wow,
like him.
Yeah,
we were like, no.
And not even like loved to hate him. I didn't to hate him. I was just like, who is this clown?
Yeah, totally.
So now let's go on to the best parts. Rhea, what is your best part?
My best part is like a like a Thai amalgamation of the makeup and Roddy McDowell in this movie.
Yeah. Because
Roddy McDowell was fantastic.
So he plays Cornelius.
Yes.
Who's another ape in the movie.
And then, like, I felt like, oh, that's Roddy McDowell. Awesome. I love him. And then I was, like, looking at his IMDb, and I was like, wait, he wasn't really in anything. But he's just one of those people that I, like, grew up knowing that guy. I think because I watched a lot of Columbo or something, you know? But, like, I just, he, like, actually acted like a half ape and half person. He was, like, doing little ticks with his mouth, and he had, like, perfect little legs. And his hands, and I would actually say, like, is Zaius, is that the, wait, I forget.
Dr. Zaius?
Yes, Dr. Zaius, thank you. The female character?
That's actually,
oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's Zira.
Okay, Zira, too many Z's.
I know, I get it.
I think she was fantastic,
she
too.
Is great.
And they actually, I really liked, you know, the faces were great, but I actually really liked the hands, because they really looked like, a lot of times you in makeup, they forget to do people's hands, and
you know,
I thought it looked awesome.
I think that actually everybody did a really terrific job. I could not believe how much I was losing myself in the character design and makeup for watching it now.
Yeah.
Like, it did not stand out to me as being absurd in any way. It really looked, and also that they don't, you know, they don't really look like apes. They look like a vault. You know, they're stand upright, but they also have the characteristics of what you're right. The very like, half of both.
I was ready for them to look like shit when we were like have to suspend my disbelief.
No,
but actually I like got really into
it. They looked awesome.
Yeah.
So that's what's up to my man John Chambers yet again.
John Chambers breaking
Ricky,
it
what
down.
About you? Best part?
Best part, the apes. That reveal of the apes when they're in what are they? They're like in some cornfields at one point.
Yeah.
And then they just come riding in on these horses. There's something about seeing monsters or any kind of villain. And when it's in a movie and it's shot just in bright daylight,
yeah.
I love that. Like The Host. Have you guys ever seen the movie The Host? A sci-fi movie. It's a monster movie. It's a Korean monster movie. And the first, as soon as a monster comes out, right out of the water in bright sunshine.
That's awesome.
And it's just such a great, so great. Yeah, the you guys said it all because John Chambers, shout out.
Yeah, you know, and I'm going to add, so I love the makeup as well. I also think that the story and the sets and the acting besides Heston, like this movie for me really held up. I really loved this movie. I thought that I know the story is plotting, but I also thought it was fascinating. I also thought I was into it. I wanted to see more. Like we didn't get to finish it in one night because we got so tired and I was upset about that. So that's great because it's a movie from 68, you know, and it's so when something holds your interest that for that much, I thought that was awesome. I was super impressed with it, and I couldn't believe I hadn't seen it. So to conclude our review, Rhea, on a scale of 1 to 5 sacred scrolls, how many sacred scrolls do you give Planet of the Apes?
I give it 3.5 sacred scrolls, and I give it 4 if you watch it in concert with the Mad Men episode that it's featured in from this past season.
And Ricky, on a scale of 1 to 5 sets of Heston teeth, how many sets of Heston teeth do you give this movie?
I will give this movie 3.5 sets of Heston teeth.
You're really nailing the Heston teeth right now.
You know, I'm so glad that you said that about the broad daylight, too. That's really sticking with me now that I think about it. I think that was actually a limitation of the time, also.
Yeah.
Like, they couldn't probably do
really great
stuff at night.
Yeah, they probably couldn't get all the
lights. Yeah, for sure. But that makes it so much better.
Absolutely.
There's actually a scene that I pointed out when we were watching it, Cameron, where they're supposed to be leaving at night, and it is so clearly like they just turned the f-stop down so that it like, you know, just like
where it's like 3:30 p.m. as opposed to 3:30 a.m.
Yeah.
But I am giving Planet of the Apes, get ready for this,
here we go,
5
oh, wow.
lit cigars placed directly in a pocket. That's my favorite like sidebar in this. Is that,
does that mean my people are still alive at that point? The Cuban, there's a lot of cigars in there.
There's
I was like, it was a Cuban somewhere.
Ton of cigars. Also, one of the things in the opening sequence, Charlton Heston smoking a cigar, does not visibly put it out, puts it in his pocket, gets in his little sleep chamber, and then sleeps for another 2,000 years. Does not die.
It's
he has
fault.
A lit cigar in his pocket. Does not die. 2,000 more years of sleep. But I loved this movie. I did not love Charlton Heston in this movie, but I loved this movie. I give it 5. I thought it was awesome. So, yay, guys. I think that might be one of my only 5s on the
show.
We'll
I can't believe it was Planet of the Apes.
No, I loved it. It was awesome. I loved it.
It's good. It's a winner.
So let's leave you with this today. Ricky, what are you thinking about this week?
Well, we already talked about Orange is the New Black. So my other go-to is something that happened today. We lost great actor from Chicago, Dennis Farina, no longer with us. And he stars in one of my favorite movies of all time, Midnight Run, starring Robert De Niro and Charles Grodin. So I would say to everyone, watch Midnight Run. It reinvented the buddy comedy, action buddy comedy movie while it was still happening. It's such a different action buddy comedy movie in like 88 or something when they were all like, I'm this guy and I'm this guy. It's not what you're going to expect. It's so good. Midnight Run.
Awesome. 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 Rhea, what's up with you?
I am going to recommend a documentary that I just happened to watch today, which is called Hot Coffee, and it's on Netflix. And it is about so-called frivolous lawsuits and tort reform. I learned so much. Hey, if a documentary can teach me about something and I enjoyed watching it, it's a good documentary.
That's awesome.
I mean, it just like completely changed my mind. And I just wanted to say a shout out to Ben, who sent me some awesome Back to the Future art.
Oh,
some portraits
you got some
of
really rad
Marty
art.
McFly and Doc Brown.
Yeah, what's
and
up,
that was
Ben?
Pretty awesome. So thank you so much for sending that.
Yeah, thanks for
I
sending that.
I need to put
that
more Marty on my walls. So
very cool. And I also, I am thinking about the weirdest thing this week. Ooh. But what I'm thinking about this week is, first of all, not drinking. Rhea and I have not been drinking for like, how long now?
Since June 1st, I think.
Wow. Wow.
And I feel awesome. I feel very clear. We didn't give up because we had a problem. We were just
okay
not feeling. I know.
The first step is admission.
I know. I just wanted to say that because there might be a listener who does. So we're not in your camp, but cheers to you. And cool for getting sober on you. For me personally, it was just I was not feeling awesome, and I was having a lot of anxiety, and I decided to make some health changes. So now I'm drinking fizzy water with a lime at bars, which, by the way, in Los Angeles, they do charge you for,
yeah.
Which does make you feel like an idiot when you walk away, and then they say, excuse me, ma'am, and then your friends realize you're trying to stiff somebody for fizzy water. Not a cool move, but I am loving it. I'm loving the change, and I really miss it because I was just a social drinker, and it was fun. So I miss that fun. I miss that release, but I also feel really good. So shout out to good, clean bodies. Good, clean bodies, guys, this week. That's what I'm thinking about. So next week for the show, we are going to watch The Hunger Games, the first one, now available on Netflix Watch Instant. We're watching it this week because, as Ricky pointed out earlier, they released the trailer to number two at Comic-Con, so there's a little bit of buzz about it, to number two. It was poop. They released a poop trailer.
It did.
And,
Catching fire, I believe.
Yeah, it's the poop is on fire, and it's a stunt and like a trick also.
That would be hilarious.
Yes. So until next week, when we review The Hunger Games, I'm Cameron Esposito.
I'm Rhea Butcher.
I am Ricky Carmona.
And you've been listening to Wham Man Pow. Wham Man Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun headquarters by Lindsay Pavlis. Thank you, Lindsay, and Maximum Fun, and thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.